Welcome to The Hitch, week 4.
Hi.
Hi.
It is day 23. We're a third of the way in now. Yeah. You've been a little.
I mean, it's good. It's all good.
I mean, that means there's still 2/3 to go.
I know, but it just still goes fast. It goes fast, and at the same time, the days are really full, and like the time moves quickly, but it also feels like every time we go to a place, it feels like we're there for longer than like time at home where weeks just zip by, no problem. So,
but
anyway,
we got to spend the day in Marfa.
Yeah, we spent a Marfa day.
And this will be our only day in Marfa. We're pushing on tomorrow.
I feel like it's too short. Honestly, I wish we had another day.
At least.
I mean, at least.
Part of it was just a luck of the draw situation. Yeah. We were in Marfa on Monday and Tuesday, and much of Marfa, including the biggest thing, the Chinati Foundation, which is the sort of multi-acre
building
art museum that is
founded by Donald Judd.
Founded by Donald Judd and built out of old army barracks.
Old army barracks.
They are only open Wednesday through Sunday. Just a reason to come back sometime.
Yep.
It was great because I would like a reason to come back.
Yeah, and because of the timing of some other stuff
in our life and just the way we're going. Yeah.
I mean, I knew that ahead of time, but I was like, oh, it'll still be fun. And guess what?
It was. Yeah.
It's still fun. But it definitely makes me wish we had another day or two. Yeah. But we will come back.
Yeah. It's a wild town.
It is a wild town. It's a small town where everyone at least appreciates, what's the word I'm looking for? Celebrates contemporary art.
I mean, but not
like,
everyone.
Not everyone. I guess that's why I was struggling to explain it, because it's like a town centered around contemporary. The business is contemporary art.
Yes.
The business is contemporary. The thing that brings the money in, the thing that's paying people is contemporary.
Seemingly the only thing.
And so what I mean by everyone, it's like, and that's why I struggled to express like what, you know, because there are obviously people who love art here. It's everywhere. It's the business here. But it's also the thing that brings the money. So I'm sure not everybody loves it. Probably some people hate it.
Yeah.
But it's the thing. And it reminds me a lot of resort towns. I mean, obviously very different in many ways, but resort towns in Colorado that I've been in, and I lived in Telluride for a couple of years when I was young. And it reminds me of that. It's like a small town with sort of a false economy. Like it's like, it's not like a regular small town. It's like, it's a real economy, but it's like a one, you know, like there it's the ski industry.
Yeah.
Everything is centered around it. Love it or hate it. That's your business.
Well, and I think especially a place like Telluride is a really good analogy because it is super remote.
It's super remote.
And it specifically caters to very rich people.
Right. It's not your regular ski town.
Yeah.
It's like Aspen. Telluride and Aspen are like the two super elite places. And Telluride is even more remote. And, you know, you'll be walking down the street and you'll see movie stars and, you know, what, you know, people, all the fancy people have their houses there. Well, here's the deal. Marfa's way fancier than I thought it was. I mean, I knew it was fancy. I knew it was, you know, part of the fancy art scene. But it really hit me today.
Yeah.
And how strange that is.
It really seems, and this is gleaned exclusively from being here for 24 hours.
We don't know what we're talking about, basically.
Could be extremely wrong here.
Could be wrong.
But my read is, we are in a recent new era of Marfa, where it has been sort of a art town for a while. But
since the late 70s,
like when Donald Judd came here. Mm-hmm. And in the 90s, my read is it was sort of like weird art town.
Mm-hmm.
And now it is becoming moneyed art town.
Very moneyed. That kind of money where, you know, it felt like when you live in a place like Telluride.
Yeah.
You know, any of the really fancy resort areas.
Where you can just see there are new things that have been built in one situation that we walked into literally in the last 2 weeks.
I know, we walked into...
To
a cafe. Actually, we went there because it's where the newspaper used to be printed and run out of.
Right.
They have a weekly called the Sentinel.
It's an 80-some-odd-year-old newspaper called the
Sentinel,
Big Bend,
right?
Sentinel.
Oh, okay.
And I saw a copy when we went into this very fancy hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, you know what? We passed that building that said Sentinel on it.
Yeah.
And
we're like, that's awesome. Let's go see if we can.
That must be the newspaper.
Check it out.
So we went, and you walk into this building that literally smelled like varnish. It was so new.
You could smell the wood tables.
Yeah.
That's how new they were. Like, not even the varnish so much as just the wood itself.
And there was a very moody...
moody art
barista.
Like barista.
Art barista working at the counter. Like, she had just...
a lot of attitude.
Yeah, like she had just woken up in the East Village and
she
somehow managed to show up here.
Very annoyed that she had to help us.
Yeah, and... we were like, oh, this is where the newspaper's made? And she was like, yeah, they just got new owners
two weeks ago,
and they've moved the production facility like next door.
She was like across the street, but I didn't
see
it there.
And they've made this building into this cafe and like workspace. And it was like... super high end.
Yeah, very fancy. I used the bathroom there and it was like I used the soap and I was like, this is fancy soap.
And I bought a copy of the paper because I love local papers.
Yeah.
And there is a letter from the editor. It is this week's edition. And there's a letter from the editor and it is the outgoing editor and is the last issue that they will print. And it was a stark reminder of just... of where we're at now. Like this, you know, this long-standing newspaper just got bought by people with the first thing they did was move the printing press and open an like wildly high-end cafe.
Well, they have
and
enough money to do it all in 2 weeks.
And to do it in 2 weeks. Yeah.
And just everything like the fanciest of fancy fixtures and everything new and everything like very high-end.
And,
like not your typical Western coffee shop.
And as you drive down the main drag, you see buildings being fixed up at that same level as we speak.
Well, it seems like half the houses are for sale.
Yes.
Like almost, I mean, I'm not exaggerating when I say that.
Yeah.
It really does seem like 50% of the houses are for sale.
And so...
and they're not as inexpensive as you think.
As far out as we are.
Yeah, I mean, we are out here.
And the other thing is, like, there are houses for sale, and then you turn a corner, and there are houses just literally falling into the ground.
Yeah, just completely falling down.
So, like, the center is very wealthy and maintained.
Right.
And the further you go out from center, the more things just start to fall into
crumble.
The earth again. Yeah. And it was, I feel like we had both had a very similar reaction, which was in the morning when we went out.
Yeah.
Even though we did some real fun stuff.
We did some really fun stuff.
There was this really great art store / gallery
called
the Wrong Store that,
that was cool.
The owner was working the desk and he... you know, they opened it 18 years ago and it was definitely like weird art store, you know, where they sold a lot of art and zines and things from local artists and things.
Yeah, a lot of different local artists. It was really cool.
And
he was awesome.
We ate burritos at the Marfa Burrito, which was really a unique, like it was literally a house.
Yeah, with like the backyard
walk
filled
into.
With tables
and
you feel like you're in somebody's house
and
just eating.
You know, like we had a really good time and we drove around, but I feel like both of us kind of had this reaction of like, okay, this is kind of a lot.
Yeah.
And
I mean, no matter how you look at it, it's weird.
Yeah.
Like in a way that's hard to figure out.
Yeah, and then we came back real briefly and then decided, you know, we're going to drive out to 37 miles out of town.
Yeah, north of town.
North of town is the Prada Marfa installation. It is not a store. It looks like a store. It was built by two artists.
It's an art installation, yeah.
It is in the middle of a field.
It's right on the side of the road, I would say.
Yeah, it's
not in the middle of a field. It's right on the side of the road, but it's like in the middle of land. Like a couple miles north of a town that's real run down.
Yeah, and like Valentine.
Valentine. And it looks amazing against the backdrop of these giant skies and these big kind of brown fields with cattle and big crazy Dr. Seuss looking cactuses everywhere. And I had seen it in a book because I used to work at a contemporary art museum. I used to be the librarian, and I had seen it in a book and I'd heard of it, you know, and I was really excited to see it in person, and it was cool to see it in person.
Yeah, it really was.
But it was so interesting because it was kind of Marfa right there encompassed. It's like the super wealthy drop in the middle of this kind of desolate, barren desert area.
And I think when it was built, because it was made in 2005.
Okay.
I think that was kind of critiquing,
I would imagine,
the money and all of this. But what's interesting is I think Marfa was very different in 2005. And it seemed almost funny that there would be a Prada store in the middle of nowhere. But now it seems like there could be.
It seems like it kind of fits. And that's the thing that's interesting. I don't know what the artist's intention was, but I assume it was somewhat critical and critiquing of high-end designer fashion and the money involved. And now it's like you get all these people, like when we went out to look at it and take pictures, it was all like all these people dressed up super fancy, like Instagram influencers,
like, you know,
probably dripping in designer clothes themselves and like posing in front of it. And I thought, wow, I wonder what the artists would think when they see it. It's like it's come full circle. It's like the critique has become like a celebration of wealth.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what's so kind of confusing and hard to figure out about Marfa is like it's this awesome little town. It's funky. There's beautiful things everywhere. There's art everywhere, which is awesome, and great art everywhere. There's some of the best artists are exhibiting art here, and it's just really for people who enjoy contemporary art.
Yeah,
it's a wonderful place to be. You know, you just look everywhere and there's art. At the same time, the money and like the capitalism and just like that it becomes similar to other kind of resort areas that become like the playground of the rich.
Right.
Is very problematic. And and it just feels like I guess when I said earlier, like a false economy, like Telluride. Right. It's like it only exists because rich people want to come and play.
Well, and you get a sense in the town. The fanciest houses, which all the houses are like adobe.
Yeah, they're small, like
brick houses. None of them are particularly large or anything, but there are ones that have been just fixed up to the nines, and they all have like frosted glass windows. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, they're beautiful.
They're really beautiful, but you don't get the sense that they are lived in.
That they're occupied.
You know, and I do wonder, as more and more houses get bought and fixed to this, these are clearly houses that people use as vacation homes.
Right.
They come
out for their art fairs.
They come out for the major exhibits, and then they leave. And so the center of town
has a kind of empty feel to
it. Yeah, in terms of when you go out into where the houses are. And it's very odd. But on the flip, I feel like when we drove back from the Prada store, both of us, as we got into town again, had this feeling of like, oh, right, this place. Like it felt more charming. I don't know what happened.
And it felt like nicer and like more fun. And you know, maybe some of it was like more stuff was open at that point. I mean, we are visiting on like the closed, slow day. The sleepy time in Marfa. Everyone's like, come on the weekends. Yeah. And I'm sure it's very different.
And even the summer, I think, is the slow
but
time.
But also,
in general.
I mean, for a small town, it has a lot of it has a lot to offer and a lot going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we went right by a roastery. And
oh, yeah. That's right.
And we forgot. Were, you know, like most small towns don't have their own roasteries and like fancy coffee and fancy places to eat and all this stuff that, and, you know, there's a lot of benefits to like a nice place.
Oh my God, I forgot all about the roastery. So as we have established on The Hitch, I'm finicky about my coffee. And yeah, there's a roastery in town, and you actually, we had stopped into a grocery store earlier, and you sent me, I was driving around with the 3-year-old in the AC, and you sent me a photo of the beans from this place, and you were like, do you want to pick some up? And I was like, nah, you know, we have that bad bag of beans that we bought at the AGB, like, we're fine. And then when we were driving back, I was like, you know what, why wouldn't we stop? And I saw the roastery on our way out of town. So I pulled in, and it's in what I think is an old gas station or an old service station.
The whole town is like
I think
old
it,
gas station.
I think it was like gas stations and service stations and things like that. And it was a stop along the highway. I think it was an old service station. And so I go in, and the main space that you walk into was brightly lit, in large part because it had a very large windows, which I think were the old service station doors. There was one tiny shelf of beans and no one around. And I was like, and I was about to turn back around when through this door that was cracked and it looked entirely dark on the other side, I heard somebody go, can I help you? And I was like, yeah, can I buy a bag of beans? And the guy was like, yeah, sure. What do you want? Still hadn't opened the door. And I was like, you know that like scene in The Lorax when he's talking to the guy in the
through the door.
The door. It was like that. And I'm like, well, you know, I'd love a light roast. And he was like, okay, yeah, that would be it was like our Mexico Chiapas beans or something. I was like, that sounds great. And he's like, yeah, it'll be $12 for a pound. I was like, cool. And so I reached over and I grabbed the bag, and he was like, oh no, those don't actually have the beans in them. And then he opens the door and he's like, here, come back. And I go back. And so first of all, the guy is wearing a t-shirt that says, Hail Satan and Drink Coffee. And he just looks like a metalhead art dude.
Yeah.
With like long hair and a long beard. And I've got one of those two things. I've got long beard. And he's got like big boots, you know, and all this. And he's like, yeah, let me help you out. But so this space, all the lights are off.
Uh-huh.
And it's pretty hot. They're roasting coffee beans.
And it was like four, maybe
it was midday,
or something.
So like heat of the daytime.
Yeah.
There are some like slow moving fans on top. There's like a woman at a desk to the right. And then there's like four roasting machines, and then just piles and piles and piles of canvas sacks holding the coffee beans. And there's just a dude napping on top of the coffee beans.
Well, it was
You know, he had set up the roasts and he was taking a nap.
We've been having little naps the last couple of days, which is why I'm like, it's prime siesta time.
And then the guy like invites me into a second room, which is full of like vats of roasted beans, and he just like scoops them up, puts them in a bag. Like, it was awesome. It's like as fresh as it gets, but it was just so kind of just like, what have I walked into? But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think it's a tricky balance of like...
Well, you came back out like, that was weird, but awesome. And I was like, well, maybe they don't sell to... Like, maybe people don't walk in there. Maybe people buy it from the store. And
there was definitely a sign that said walk-ins welcome.
I know, but it's funny.
But
I mean,
clearly it doesn't happen
much. It doesn't happen much.
And it was also, to me, just like a part of this odd thing with this town. Like, it is... it is a town that is basically tailor-made for the two of us, right? Like, it is a small western desert, high desert town that is
focused on contemporary art.
Like, you couldn't choose a town more like us, and yet,
it's not for us
because
we're not rich. Yeah. So, you know, like, that's why I think I have mixed confusing feelings about it, because I'm like, you know, a place where we belong.
Yeah.
Like, everybody likes art and coffee and all these things.
I think if we had stayed in Marfa a decade ago,
yeah,
we would have never left.
I know.
I think
like
that's
that dude we talked to today.
Yeah,
who moved here 20 years ago with
that's
his
right.
wife.
Yeah,
who ran the.
Yeah, they bought an old church and
yeah,
turned they, it
and
into
I know
a
we were
gallery.
Walking around like this is amazing space. Yeah, I mean it's interesting because I was thinking today, I'm like, well, why wouldn't we love it? It's a small yeah. Western town. It's beautiful around here. Everybody's into art, or at least that's the focus.
Yeah.
I mean, how many places is that the deal? That's
many.
Not usually the deal.
Like little towns?
You can
yeah.
find your little art, yeah. you know, group,
yeah.
but it's a small percentage of most of the people.
Yeah.
So to have a whole town that's like focused on that is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And it is.
It
and
is.
That's the thing. I don't mean to critique it at all. I really enjoy it. I mean, tonight we went to, they have Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
We went to Dairy Queen. We walked around the like.
There's like a little courthouse square.
Courthouse square. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely
it really
gorgeous.
Is.
The weather is incredible. These cool nights where the heat of the day just cools down.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. And I was just like, oh, this is the life.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it really, it is such a, it, I feel like the whole day I was oscillating between like, this is the greatest. No, it isn't. Yeah, this is the greatest.
I know.
No, you know, like
Me
the
too.
Whole day.
Me too. Well,
and,
yeah.
Yeah.
And we didn't even talk about going up to the Chinati
right.
Foundation, which we couldn't go into because
right.
it's not open. But we did drive by because we wanted to see some of the Judd sculptures and artworks
yeah.
that are out in the fields, which we could see a little bit. But that whole thing is like an old army base.
Not only an army base, but parts of it, they housed German prisoners of war
yeah.
in World
so
War
like
II.
A, so it has a very strange vibe to
very
it.
Very strange vibe.
Yeah. And I really want to get inside those buildings
yeah.
sometime when they're open and
yeah.
see the amazing artwork that I know is in there. And it was really cool to see Judd's artwork out in the
yeah.
landscape. And that was such a big thing for him, is to be like out, you know, incorporating the land and the landscape
yeah.
into everything and having these like permanent artworks that last on and on. And it was cool to see that. We'll definitely be back and
yeah.
see that again. But yeah, it kind of had that contrast of like you said it yesterday, there's sort of like a post-apocalyptic
yeah.
vibe to it. And it's interesting because today I was thinking when we, you know, you see a lot of like buildings that are just kind of rubble, broken down, trashed cars on the side of the road, like, you know, but then right next to a really fancy place. But I realized like yesterday when we were driving around, we were talking about how bad the roads are, and they are really
yeah.
like ripped up and stuff. Like I was thinking, well, you know, the fancy art people probably want some of that rough aesthetic when they come.
Right.
Right? Like,
well,
I'm in the Wild West.
I think that, so this was an analogy that I used earlier.
Yeah.
So in 1992, I moved to the Chicago neighborhood of Wicker Park, which at the time was like the art neighborhood, like the art and music neighborhood. And it was still a little rough, but not as rough as it used to be when kind of the first wave of artists started to gentrify it. Like I was the second wave of artists gentrifying it. And by the time I left was when more and more rich people started to show up in Wicker Park. And because they wanted to go to the art galleries
right.
and they wanted to go to the clubs where, you know,
the
new bands were playing.
And, stuff, yeah.
and there were some restaurants that were starting to open that catered more to the rich people than to the artists. And now, like fast forward 20 years, it's a rich person's neighborhood.
Right.
You know, there
yeah.
is very, you know, one of the last clubs shut down,
mm-hmm.
you know, the art galleries aren't there as much. There's still some vestiges
yeah,
of the old
some.
Part.
But a lot of the artists don't live there
right,
anymore
because
they can't afford it.
There was a point where enough rich people started showing up that they didn't want it to be rough
right.
anymore.
And I wonder
and
if that's
that
coming.
Feels like what's happening here.
Yeah.
It feels like there it has hit that rich person tipping point where
yeah.
more and more people are not showing up for the rough like experience
right.
you know the bohemian experience
well,
and instead they're showing up for the rich experience
for the real nice
yeah.
dinner that they're having in that fancy
yeah.
hotel in
that
hotel super fancy bar
yeah
I wonder already if artists that are not wealthy in this area, like live outside and drive in to work or whatever, or just to, you know, do their, you know, exhibit their art or whatever. It's interesting. And having never been here before, I don't know what it was like 5 years ago. I don't know what it was like 10 years ago, but I mean, it's great. We've loved it.
Yeah.
We've loved it, but it definitely has a feel of like some real contrast, some real dichotomies
it's
going on.
It's funny because I think this is probably the longest episode of the history we have ever done on this trip. Because we can't sort it out.
And because of who we are and our background, like me being from the West, both of us loving contemporary art, like all of these things, this town has a lot of things that trigger different emotions and desires for us. As an example, we were driving around a little bit, this one part of the town we hadn't seen. I was just always curious to see the different houses and kind of get a feel for a place. And we drove through and there's like super fancy, you know, redone, like, and they're all like a lot of the new ones are done in this kind of minimalist style,
very minimalist.
Like the, you know, like the artists that, you know, like Donald Judd and the artists that are shown here a lot. And so like everything very minimalist and clean and, you know, and then like we saw this one house that was really nice and like white, but everything very modern looking.
Yeah.
And very clean and very like minimalist. And then right next door was a house that was like totally wrecked with a roof.
The roof had fallen in.
And their spray painted on the side was just like this giant in red spray paint, snakes.
And then
snakes!
as you drove around on the other side,
it said, keep out, snakes. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah. Like these people that have this really fancy house are like right next to the snake house. Also, how many snakes have to be in that house
before you decide
before
you, need
you really
paint
have
that
to
warning.
Like condemn that snake warning? Anyway, we didn't luckily see any snakes.
No.
But, but yeah, there's a lot going on.
There is. And it's, I mean, I think really we got to come back.
We got to
come back. Is really what it is.
We got to come back. And the thing is, it's so cute. And there's so many wonderful, beautiful things to look at. There's like a public radio. There's two radio stations in this town.
Yeah.
There's like a rock radio station and a public radio station. And there's like bike share. And I mean, all of these things that normally don't. Cannot be supported in a small town. I mean, that's the
even
one.
In a small city.
Even in a small city. You know? Even in a medium-sized city.
Like this has its own newspaper and its own radio station.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. Like when I lived in Telluride, they had a daily newspaper. A daily newspaper. That does not happen in a small town unless you've got a lot of money in there.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, money's not a bad thing. I'm not. I don't mean to make it sound like it, because. You know, the art world basically wouldn't exist without it. But it brings a lot of...
You can tell that it's changing.
You can tell that it's changing, and you can tell it's not necessarily for everyone now.
Right.
And that has a really weird and alienating feeling for just regular people. Yeah. You know, like I walked into a couple places today, and I was like, this is too fancy for me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like I belong.
I walked into this fancy, fancy
like,
hotel
I'm gonna get chased out.
With the three-year-old to use the bathroom. And I was like, are they calling the cops on us while we're in here?
Like, I feel like we're not fancy enough.
No, we're definitely not. Especially, like, I looked down at my shorts today, and these shorts are wrecked. Like, we are not fancy enough for the
fancy
parts
enough.
Of this town. We are definitely
in with the
falling apart adobe parts of this town, for sure.
Not quite as run down as the snake house.
No.
So we're somewhere between the snake house and the fancy houses.
Yeah.
We're just in the, like, there's still plenty of regular houses.
Yeah.
Many of them are for sale.
Most of them.
Most of them are for sale.
Yeah.
And the thing that I can't, and I know we can't talk on, I mean, we could talk on and on, but we should. We should
wrap
this
up.
Welcome to the Marfa Cast by two people who don't really know
anything about Marfa.
And have been here for 2 seconds and making all these assumptions about it. I completely forgot what I was going to say. So good job.
Perfect. You nailed it. That's a good stopping point. All right, all.
I got on too many tangents.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay. Bye.
Season 2 of The Hitch was recorded in the back of Evangeline, our 27-foot Airstream trailer by Dan Sinker and Janice Dillard, while living on the road for 64 days in the summer of 2019. You can see pictures from the road on Instagram at Tin Can Evangeline, and you can email us at evangeline@thehitchpodcast.com. If you like The Hitch, please tell your friends about it, and also rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. And we'll see you on the road.